Good evening. I'm K2 Romeo India Whiskey. I'm along with Mel, K2 Kilo Echo Yankee. At this time, we run the TechNet. The technical net is a gathering of the clan in which we discuss subjects of interest to ham radio operators. And a lot of what we discuss is how to get more enjoyment out of the hobby, how to get better understanding of the way your rig behaves and your antenna behaves and your transmission lines, propagation, and so on. Satellites, moon maps, meteor scatters, just goes on and on. There's 27 or so different kinds of ham radio. And the 2-meter ham radio you're listening to right now by an FM repeater is one of the 27 kinds. For the last 4 weeks, we've had a lot of discussions on the subject of digital television. It's going to become more and more important to me now, and I think it is February 17th, when in theory all digital television becomes the only way and analog television ceases to exist. Unless Mr. Obama is willing to create an additional delay because of the lack of funds for a $40 coupon. A person signs into the technical net by giving Mel and Dick your call letters, your name, and the word yes, which means you do have a question or a comment for the net. A typical sign-in would sound like this, W-A-2-R-Y-Y, Joe and yes. So we have any check-ins. Give me your call letters and name right now.
F-2-E-O, Richard, yes.
Rich recognized. Anyone else?
KV2-S-N-W, Doug, no.
N2-F-W-R, no. Good evening, Ted.
KB1-N-N-H, Jerry, no.
Okay, we will be white. Okay, we've got Joe, and quite a few no's beyond that. Joe, Jerry, and FWR. Anyone else check it? Give me a call in on that.
Good evening, all. KB1-N-N-H, KC2MDD, Steve, no questions.
Steve recognized, Mel recognized, anyone else? Looks like people are all tired out from Ham Radio University. Not many people are here so far, but maybe they'll come in later. Let's start off with Rich and 2EO. Rich, what's happening in Whitestone? And taking good care of Jingles, K2RIW.
Oh yeah, taking good care of Jingles. Jingles is taking good care of me. Good evening, N2EO. Dick, I have a question on digital television, the subject which I think is near and dear to your heart. I just bought yesterday a Samsung 37-inch. It's a 1080 progressive scan as opposed to interlace and 1080p. So I said to the gentleman in the store, where can I take advantage of the 1080 progressive? And he said, you know, Blu-ray, and mainly Blu-ray, but then he added, he said to me, because I told him I had DirecTV service, satellite service, he said to me he wasn't sure if it was DirecTV or Dish Network was going to be offering a premium HD service, which was going to entail 1080p. So I said to him, what does it matter if it's Dish Network or DirecTV, because if one doesn't, the other will have to compete. I'm wondering if you or Eric is around, anybody knows anything about that, because it's a little confusing to me, because to my knowledge, DirecTV doesn't send 1080p or 1080i. They're sending some type of other compressed video off the satellite, and the box converts it to 1080i. So I'm wondering, will they be supplying a box or what? I called DirecTV. The woman, when I mentioned progressive scan and interlace scan, she had no idea what I was talking about. Back to that, N2EO.
Yeah, good question, Rich. And I hope that Eric is available, or anyone else who has digital television savvy and smart and experience. I've like that.
K2RIW. Here is Laura, KD2VVV, Coney Island. No.
Okay, Laura signed in. Anyone else with any knowledge, though, about high-def television and 1080 line? Give us your call letters right now.
KO2, okay, Bennett.
Go right ahead, Bennett. Tell us whatever you know. Right now, we don't know what we feel.
Well, what I know may not be up to date. I believe it is, though. First of all, I don't think there is any broadcasting at 1080. If you want 1080p, I think the only way you can get it is either through a Blu-ray disc player or some of the game consoles. And I believe that's it. I mean, you can have high def, but high def could be 480, 720. It doesn't have to be 1080. And even the HD broadcasts are, you know, I believe, not 1080. I think they're either 480 or 720. So, somebody else can chime in, but get a quick look up on the internet as well. But, I believe Blu-ray and some of the game consoles are back to net. KO2, okay.
So I think you're saying, Bennett, that no over-the-air broadcast, to your knowledge, has any form of 1080 line of transmission. I thought I heard Eric telling us that there was techniques by which 1080 could be transmitted. I suspect it was more intensive so that the single channel allocated, 6-megacycle channel, may not be able to give you four individual programs if one of them is 1080. But I had the impression that 1080 was possible with either cable or fiber or possibly over-the-air broadcast. So,
N2RSO.
N2RSO. Start up with your name, sir, and tell us what you know about it.
Good evening, Dick. It's Frank, N2RSO. Woodbury Cablevision transmits, I believe, at least most of their high-definition channels, which are the 700 channels, in 1080i. They have not gone to 1080p, but they're all pretty much 1080i. The remaining channels, the local channels, are either 480 or 720.
In other words, if you buy the premium service that uses the 700 number channels, if I understand you correctly, Frank, you get 1080i. I guess an adjacent question that I have is that since Rich just bought a 37-inch set that has a 1080p capability, I have the impression that the 1080p might be more difficult for the set to handle than 1080i. That would suggest he also has 1080i capability within the set. I wonder if that makes any sense, what I just said. What would you think?
Yes, it does, Dick. Once you have a set that will handle 1080p, the progressive, then it will also handle all other modes, 1080i, which is interlaced, 720p, progressive, etc. And the only mistake you made in your comment is that Cablevision, Woodbury Cablevision, does not charge extra for the HD. In other words, if you have a regular TV, they'll give you your regular channel, but you go out and buy a high-definition capable TV and just bring your cable box down to one of their stores, and they'll exchange it for a high-definition box at no cost, and there's no extra charge for it. By the way, I have no connection with Cablevision, no pecuniary interest. The only extra you would pay would be if you decided you wanted the DVR function, digital video record function. They'll give you a special cable box for that, including high definition. And for that, you pay an extra $10 a month. Back to net and to RSO.
Okay, let's run that by again. If I buy from Cablevision the basic service, I think you're telling me I get the high-definition 700 number channel with that basic service. Is that sort of what you said, Frank?
Yes, that's correct, Dick. of course, you get a limited number of channels because channels such as HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, there are high-definition versions of them, but you have to subscribe to that particular service. If you have HBO, regular HBO, you will also receive high-def HBO and Cinemax, etc. I don't know how basic the Cablevision people get, but obviously they're going to give you channels 2, 4, 5, 7, 9. All of those will be available in regular definition and high definition as well.
Okay. If the high def is a 700 number channel, and some of those, or maybe all of them, are 1080i or P, and I get those with basic service, roughly what kind of material is there? Is it the over-the-air broadcast 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, also in high def there, as well as regular in some other locations? What's the nature of the material that you believe I get in high def for basic service, if you happen to know? Over to you, Frank.
Well, I have a number of tiers now. I don't know at this point how basic is. And by the way, you mentioned 1080p. Cablevision does not transmit anything in the progressive form of 1080. It's only 1080i. The only place you can get 1080p right now is with a Blu-ray disc. And as was previously mentioned, either by using a Blu-ray disc player or one of the gaming machines, the Xbox or Nintendo, some of those are capable of playing back Blu-ray movies. But getting back to your question, the Cablevision, they have basic and, there's one thing that they're offering where it's just the basic channels, as you said, from 2 to 13, but they have I guess it's a basic plus or whatever, for a minimal extra charge. And you would get channels such as TNT, TBS, Turner Broadcasting System. You would probably get CNN, stations like that. You would not receive some of the premium channels, which include Sci-Fi Channel and, of course, the movie channels, TNT, Showtime, etc., etc. But I think you get a little bit more than your basic 2 to 13. They'll throw some extras in there, if for no other reason than to entice you into buying more.
Okay, sounds good information. So almost everything other than Blu-ray in 1080 is interlaced. Is there an advantage of 1080p over 1080i? If Blu-ray will give me 1080p, does the 1080p look better than 1080i? I'm a little bit skeptical of that. The first advantage I can think of interlaced is that on fast-moving motion, I'll see a little less flicker effect with interlaced, I believe, because you are getting a kind of update 60 times per second of at least part of the picture, the intermediate lines, with interlaced on fast-moving. Whereas with progressive, you're only getting 30 real frames per second, and therefore I think I'm going to see more flicker in fast motion. As such, I'm a little curious as to why Blu-ray would have the capability of 1080 progressive. Over to you, Frank. N2RSO, K2RIW in the tech net.
Well, as I see it, one of the advantages of Blu-ray over DVD is the it seems that they can get a lot more programming onto a Blu-ray disc than a straight DVD. They use a blue laser rather than a red laser, and it's a very finer series of concentric circles, I guess if you'd call it that. But as far as the quality goes, I think a lot depends on the monitor that you're using, the TV. Anyone who has access to Consumer Reports could look up the differences afforded by Samsung, Sony, Panasonic, etc. And I think the difference would be more noticeable in the lesser quality sets than the higher quality one. They did a comparative analysis, I believe, in one of their issues, showing that there's really a basic similarity between, let's take a 32 to 37 inch a high definition TV, and they see very little difference between 1080i and 720p. So again, you've got 720 progressive, and you move up to 1080 interlaced, and I guess you really have to have a discerning eye in order to see the difference. Purists would object to that statement and say, well, you've got to have the best, you've got to go for 1080p. But to each his own. To RSM.
70 meters ZEX Mobile.
Okay, ZEX. Why don't you start up with your name and your question or comment? Go right ahead.
This is WB Synthetic. My name is Jerry. I just want to point out that I have a 1080p TV, and if there ever would be a 1080p signal, it runs at 120 hertz rather than 60 hertz. You don't see that flicker with the motion, but I don't have a Blu-ray to see anything, so only defaults to 1080i at 60 hertz. But the 1080p sets that I know of set for 120 hertz. So you don't see that flicker when you have the motion. Sorry, Jake.
Wow. I'm a little bit confused by that one. Typical television is 60 fields per second for 30 frames per second. And that, to the average American viewer, gives you zero flicker. Whereas when an American goes to the United Kingdom, for instance, and we see there phase alternate line, PAL system, which is using a 50 hertz field rate and 25 hertz frame rate, there is a definite flicker there. We, who are not used to it, when we look at the signal, when we look at the television set in Europe, out of the corner of your eye, when you look at it with peripheral vision, which is very motion sensitive, I will always see the flicker. When I first arrived in the United Kingdom, and I look straight on at the set, I see flicker. In a few minutes, my eye says, ain't no flicker there anymore. So now the brain corrects and says, there ain't no flicker. But when I look at it peripherally, there always is flicker. Whereas corresponding on American, which is 30 frames per second, I don't see flicker, particularly with the 60 interlaced. So I'm wondering why with 1080 progressive, they would have to go to 120 versus 60. I'm a little bit confused by that. But let me go back to Frank for a second. Frank, maybe you know the answer to this. I'm trying to really figure out what is the real difference that the viewer will perceive when looking at an interlaced picture versus a progressive picture. And let's try to keep apples and apples and oranges here. If I was looking at a 720p or a 720i, would I see a difference in your opinion? Or correspondingly, if I was looking at a 1080p or a 1080i display, would I see a difference? Over to you, Frank. N2RSO, K2RIW.
Well, sir, I can't answer that, Dick, basically because I have not seen any 720i's. I have Cablevision, and by pushing a button on my remote, I can get a little information screen that tells me exactly what mode they're using, the source. And from what I've seen with Cablevision, you will get either 480p, 720p, or 1080i. Those are basically the three choices, and you really don't choose them. Whatever channel you're on, whatever they're transmitting, that what you see is what you get. So there's no way for me to do a comparison, since I've never seen a 720i. I've only seen the 720p that Cablevision provides. Getting back to the difference in hertz. Now, I have an older model purchased about 2 years ago, Samsung, 40-inch. And as far as I know, that's 60 hertz. I don't believe that that 60 hertz that they're referring to is the cycles per second line voltage, line current. I believe it applies somewhere else in there. I know that the newer sets are being advertised as 120 hertz, and they're hyping that to show that you have a better chance for a flicker-free picture. Am I going to sell my 60 hertz model and buy a new one? No way. I'm very happy with the picture I have now, and I watched my first Blu-ray disc last night, that animated movie Wall-E, and hard to tell the difference between that and 1080i, because being an animated feature, they're all bold colors, they're all, there's really no no flesh tones, things like that to compare with. So when I go to a real movie and watch that on Blu-ray,
repeater, time out. Repeater, time out. Cancel.
I'm Frank, you've got to say, when I go to a real movie and look at it in Blu-ray,
then I'll try to compare that with standard DVD. Try to compare the flesh tones and any kind of flicker or whatever, but I really don't think there's going to be that much difference. I think they're really hyping this Blu-ray. I'm hoping that the advantage of having more data will allow them to put longer movies on one disc rather than on two.
Glenn recognized, and Rich recognized that order. One quick question here, Frank. That is, I think you said you got a 40-inch Panasonic bought 2 years ago. I'm going to guess that that screen is liquid crystal. I think you had the option of buying that in plasma. Maybe that makes a little bit of difference in color rendition and or resolution and or how fast the picture gets updated. Correct me on that one, Frank. N2RSO, K2RAW.
Yeah, okay, Dick. It's not a Panasonic. It's a Samsung. 40-inch, and you're correct. It's an LCD. And the reason I chose that model is because the earlier models, you had a problem with viewing from the sidelines of the room. In other words, the brightest, the sharpest picture was when you sat right in front of the TV. Samsung came out with these new LCD screens that give you a wider range to watch from. I'm very happy with mine.
Glad to hear that. Some of us haven't made the big commitment yet to lay down the bucks for these new sets. I'm one of them. I'm a dinosaur. I haven't checked with Mel yet, but Mel already owns a high def set. He's punched in. He's put his foot in the pool. Let's see what Glenn's got to say. And Glenn, what kind of a set do you own? In other words, how many inches, what brand name, liquid crystal, plasma? Do you see a difference in these various methods of display? KC2QIQ, K2RIW in the tech net.
Good evening, Dick. Good evening, everyone else in the net this evening. Yeah, I was just going to mention, actually, the TV that I have, the widescreen LCD that I have, the Panasonic, and that's 46. And the Samsung that I have is a, like a 20 to 24 inch flat panel LCD. And I don't use Cablevision, but I do have BIOS. And the other gentleman is definitely correct in saying that they only broadcast both cable. Well, everyone that's out there is only doing 1080 in I and 720 in P for the high definition. I do have Blu-ray also, and the big difference isn't flicker that I've seen, especially when it runs in 120 hertz. It's really motion. The big difference is when pictures are really moving across the screen in the digital format, you can see like the motion just looks a lot more fluid. It doesn't look as jerky. And one of my biggest complaints with HD over regular analog TV is that it always seemed to have more of a, like, it's hard to say, like a motion that wasn't very, very fluid. So it's the higher they go from 60 to 120, it definitely is much more fluid when you look at that. Most noticeably to me in sports, baseball, when they hit the ball and you watch it go through the air, the 1080i, it just doesn't look as fluid, if you know what I'm saying, Dick.
Okay, I think you're describing a ratchet emotion. I used to think that 120 was that the picture was being flashed on the screen 120 times per second, but only updated at 60 or 30 times per second. And if I was right on that, obviously you'd see a lot of ratcheting motion on fast updates on fast moving scenes. When something moves fast, you're watching it in 1080i, I think it is, and you do see flicker. I think you said you see flicker on 160, on 60, but you don't see flicker, or you don't see anywhere near as much on 120. And the flicker that you see, I can think of at least two different kinds of flicker. Number one, the hold on picture, if it was being panned, like in the movie Grand Prix, where everything in the background is moving at 120 miles an hour or whatever, 220 miles an hour, I could see how it would move and jerk. The hold on screen would move and jerk if that movie was being displayed. Or, because of the method by which the video compression takes place, individual sections of the picture are being updated, the ones that have moved the most, and the ones that have moved the least are not being updated. For that, I call it a pixelation problem. In other words, you'll see artifacts in certain areas of the screen, not the whole screen at once, when things are being panned in a hurry. Therefore, with those two, and probably the third, kind of flicker in mind, the flicker that you've seen on either 60 or 120, and I'm so curious as to what 20 really means, are they really taking that hold-on picture of 1,080 interfaced, interlaced lines and really updating all of that information 120 times per second? And that's a megabyte data rate that is just out of sight. So anything you clear up for me and all of my curiosity is going to help. KTCQIQ, K2RIW in the deck net.
K2RIW, KC2QIQ. From what I understand, Dick, they don't upgrade everything. In other words, the way that digital is feeding the information forward through codecs, it basically updates parts of the screen at rates of 120 hertz. So it's basically some of the big differences between analog and the LCD format to that. You don't have the beam running across the way that the old analog systems used to work. Now you have a digitally enhanced signal that basically is backlit by a light bulb. So the light bulb is on all the time. It's incandescent back range. And the 1080 is really the resolution across the screen. And what's happening is the data is being refreshed into pixels at the difference is either on, say, the 1080i is at 60, and you're basically 60 hertz, and the data is being updated at a rate of 120 hertz on the Blu-ray, let's say, of the 1080p. Does that make any more sense?
I think so. Let me run it by one more way. Let's assume now that the set has enough digital memory that the new information is being painted onto something I'm going to call a video display matrix, call it memory. And that memory, whatever state it's in, is going to be painted onto the visual screen at 60 or 120 times per second. So therefore, only sections that are moving are being updated on the display matrix, but the display matrix itself is being painted onto the screen 120 or 60 times per second. That's a guess on my part. And I think the advantage of doing it that way is as you're painting new information into a certain section of the screen that needs updating, that's taking place out of view of the watcher. That's taking place on the display matrix, not on the screen itself. As I said, these are all guesses on my part. Over to you, Glenn, K2RIW.
Actually, I think you explained it perfectly. That's exactly what's happening. That's how the codec really works. It's basically taking information, and it basically explodes the information with a digital feed. So you're inputting the signal, and then basically just updating the changes, and you're painting over from memory. That's exactly how it's working. K2RIW, KZ2QIQ.
Okay, we're slowly beginning to understand this, Jazz, as you can see, Rich. N2EO, go right ahead with your further info.
Okay, Dick. It was very confusing when I bought the 37-inch Samsung.
Coupon. So that's one definition of box, the converter box.
Another definition of Fox is that if you're using cable television, whether or not your particular Fox on top of yours is supplied by the cable company, can supply the modern services is a factor. And maybe there's a delay in the manufacture of those and their availability. And some people will call a flat screen television, which quite often is broken into two separate components, the flat screen, a cable going over to a box that is the real television. You could be talking about that box. So which one of the three boxes were you referring to when you talked about an availability problem, Glenn? Over to you, Glenn.
Okay, so basically what I'm talking about is the box that goes directly on top of the television set, supplied by a provider. DirecTV would have one after it comes down from the satellite dish. Fios would have one, just, you know, Verizon. They would have one after it comes down right on top of your TV set where you adjust your channels. And the same thing with Cablevision, any one of those providers. Those are the ones that right now presently give you the 720p or the 1080i. And there again, those boxes aren't capable of doing the 1080p, as far as I know. That's an extra service you probably have to order through your provider in order to get those. As far as high definition being broadcast, now that's another one. I've had all kinds of questions for Eric on that one, because originally I had a Motorola box that was putting out, it was an HDT100, and that was high definition. And all of a sudden, after a few months ago, half the channels disappeared. And one of the things I noticed was when I purchased the Zenith box, I thought I was getting a high-definition box and realized, no, that's just a digital television box. And I don't have, you know, yes, it makes the, you know, the 16x9 box and, you know, it does do that, but the resolution is nowhere near 1080. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking it's maybe 720 at best, and I don't even know if it's 720p. My question for Eric next is, I think half the reason I lost some of the capabilities, they may not even be broadcasting true high definition anymore in terms of like 1080. That's a question I really would have to ask Eric when he comes back on. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
Someone call?
Oh boy, do we need you.
You got to sign in first each night, Eric. Lots and lots of questions. I wonder how many of you heard and whether or not we should repeat them. KE2EJ, K2RIW in the second.
I just came back upstairs, so I didn't hear anything.
Okay, let's start off with Glenn's questions. Glenn, repeat your questions for Eric.
Hi, Eric. This is Glenn, KC2QIQ. And one of the questions I have is, you know, after monitoring over the air, you know, for at least the last couple of years, since high definition and digital TV has been being broadcasted, the first receiver that I had was an HDT100, and it was true high definition. In other words, it would receive digital signals, and this is a Motorola piece, HDT100, and it received both the digital over the air and high definition. And certainly channel 2, 4, and 7 initially, because this is going back at least 5 years, used to get solid, beautiful, high-definition output signals and component output that would go directly into my widescreen TV, and it had beautiful HD. And the years ago, I started losing signals on that box. I went up and purchased a Zenith converter, and now what I've noticed is that box does not have a high-definition output. It's at best just regular digital output, and it only goes into like an S-video output. And it was like, can't get the component output, and definitely doesn't have anything like anywhere near HDMI. Now, I think the best output or resolution that I'm getting, even though I can get the 29, that's 720p, maybe you can spread some light on exactly what's being broadcast now and what some of the issues are in terms of the receivers and how do you get high definition. I'm not even sure they're broadcasting 1080i or P over air. Maybe you can explain that.
All right, let's start off from the beginning. Using a DGC-100, where are you located?
Massapequa, Eric.
All right. There's a whole bunch of things happening here. First of all, did you use the DirecTV side of the box, or you don't use that at all?
No, this is nothing to do with DirecTV. This is strictly, I bought it at Circuit City. It was Motorola. It basically just has component outputs. This is strictly antenna in, nothing to do with anything digital or direct TV. It's just a regular antenna in converter box, but it is a true high definition output box.
All right, so the back of that box has WYPRTV, is that correct?
That's correct.
Right, and if that other box that you bought didn't have that, or didn't have HDMI, it probably down converts everything and fits out what we call 480i, or regular 525 on television. You're a Massapequa, and you're one of the slots that unfortunately has a problem. What channels can you pick up, or what channels can't you pick up?
Right now, with the Zenith box, I'm getting everything except for channel 13. The only one that I'm with the HDT 100, I lost channel 2, 13. I think I can only get like 4, 7, 5, and 9, possibly one or two others. You know, just a handful on that receiver anymore.
All right, so if you go to the antenna setup screen, you'll probably find that you can get 24 full scale. That's coming from 4 World Trade. Times Square, sorry, wrong word. And the 40, which is coming from 4 Times Square, probably pins your meter. CBS, you're having difficulty with, I can understand. And actually, what New York has basically done, what CBS has done, is removed any overhead, you know, any reserve in their bit link, you know, in their bit link capability because of their antenna system. Now, you'll be interested in this, they finally dropped. They had to shut the backfill antenna off on Wednesday, or the Thursday. It was off for about an hour. And for that hour, if you had any of these guys had put on their TV, they'd have gotten all the channels again. So I've kind of proved my theory that there's inter-symbol distortion going on. I was able to document everything because I haven't wanted to write a letter to the guy at CBS until I have something to back myself up with. So, say a year ago, actually it was like 7 months ago, they started changing the antenna system. You actually got all your channel. Alright? And you might even possibly have gotten 13. So, that's the first part of the equation. Us being east and south of Empire have a real terrible time picking up digital television because they basically rust it up. I mean, they drop. Now, as far as the standards go, okay, by the way, there is no 780i, not 720i, it's only 720p. There's actually 36 different flavors of types of scans that can be transmitted over digital television. Over-the-air broadcasting will not do 1080p, period, because it needs quite the bandwidth of 1080i. And the 1080p that the story is referred to is not 1080p 60, it's 1080p 24, which requires a little bit less bandwidth than 1080i, except you're only seeing 24 frames a second instead of 30. As far as broadcasters go, CBS, NBC, and WNET, TBS, they're all 1080i. Fox, ABC, which includes WWOR, and by the way, Channel 11 is 1080i also. They have chosen to use a system that uses a lower bandwidth. That's where the 720p comes in. You can get a decent picture with 10 megabits of data, MPEG-2, 720p. That looks pretty good. But it's not as good as 1080i, and to get a good picture of 1080i, you need about 14, 15 megabits. So they decided that they are going to sell some of their digital space, and they chose 720p as their standard, which is not as pretty as 1080i, but that's life. And those are the basic two high-definition standards that are transmitted over digital television. Does that kind of fill you in?
Yes, it does, Eric. Thanks very much. I kind of figured it was along those lines, but there again, just one other quick thing that you had mentioned about the HDT 100 box as far as the antenna setup. Yeah, I missed some of that.
Now, what I was saying that when they turned off a particular antenna at Empire, everybody east and south all of a sudden got TV reception. In fact, you've been looking at the signal strength meter, or rather the signal quality meter, as they call it, on any of these boxes. If you were getting, if you tuned to, say, channel 56 right now, you're probably getting like a a 30-something or a 40-something, which is not enough to make the darn thing lock up. But when they turned that antenna off, it probably shot up to like 99.
Gotcha, okay. No, that definitely explains. I thought it was something, it was a setup with the converter box itself. But no, I completely understand, because the picture quality I used to get over a year ago was phenomenal. And it's really unbelievable how much it changed. Hopefully they'll be doing something soon to correct a lot of that.
Well, I'm trying to see if I can influence that, because the way things are, it's pretty much going to stay. They just spent a couple $1 million doing it. And actually, they've made reception worse. And they may not be really aware of it, because nobody seems to be really checking it out. And now that I've got some empirical data to pass along, maybe they'll listen a little bit.
Eric, was it your insistence that made the 2-hour test or whatever it was on Tuesday, where they turned off the solar antennas, take place?
Go ahead. No, negative. They had to weld a bracket that's holding the antenna together.
Thank goodness.
Okay.
And that gave you some hours of non-fill, therefore you weren't getting the inter-symbol distortion, therefore you were getting reception. Even on that fancy set of yours that has got the real elaborate equalizer network in it, you're saying it's not able to handle the inter-symbol distortion when the solar antenna was turned on? Back to you.
Well, that fancy device that I have only has a third-generation equalizer in it. And the reason why is because they have not made a fifth or seventh generation equalizer chip with attack availability that you could monitor. So, I don't know whether they're actually going to manufacture one or not, but they might. But since the converter rush came along, they kind of, I think, put their energy in getting the product out of the door, not making accessories for something that, you know, they're going to sell 1,000 chips for. But I'm sure that'll come at some point. But the reality is that you should see the pictures of that I've taken of the before and after. What I do is I grab screenshots of everything, and that's the presentation within my email. It'll probably go out Monday, because I'm 3/4 of the way done writing it. And by the way, tonight at 3 a.m., Channel 13 VHF will be digital, and Channel 7 VHF will be digital. So tonight's the night that they're going to try it again. K2RIW, K2J.
K2KY, no questions for Eric.
Okay, 3 o'clock tonight, maybe for 1 hour. Go ahead, sir.
Roger, from 3 to 4.
K2KY. With the regular, without the box connected, or I should say shut off, I get Channel 13 via perfect. I tried it with the box. And get nothing on channel 13. Every other channel comes in, I get 30 channels except 13. Is that going to be corrected here for this part of Brooklyn? Over.
First of all, channel 13 right now is on channel 51. When and if the 17th happens, because there's been an op-ed piece in the Times, and now it seems like the Obama transition team is realizing that maybe we should delay this a little bit. So right now it's a 50-50 shot that the 17th is going to happen. I guess we'll see in 12 days what actually occurs. But at this stage of the game, it's the 17th. So when the 17th happens, 13 will be on the Channel 13 antenna, not the CBS antenna that lets them come out on Channel 61. By the way, it's the CBS antenna that has the problem. And the stations currently on that antenna are CBS, NBC, ABC, PIX, WWR, and WNET. Now, when there's only one antenna, actually it's 4 phase, the original mineral system, now it's 3 phase. You've got to configure that they're using a 3 dB divider. You know, they're using a power divider, so... of the 700 watts that made it out of the combiner, minus your cable that gets up to the antenna, and then lose another 3 dB, it ain't much power coming out on 13. That's pretty much why you don't get it. And, of course, the additional problems of the inter-symbol distortion makes it about 50% worse. So, who knows? But when they do go to the 17th and 13th on VHF, you'll be able to pick it up with rapid ears with no problem.
Okay, this is KCKY. One more thing. I have consumer report. tell you something, how they rate them and, you know, for quality and all. It's unbelievable how many makes there are and how it's rated over.
Yeah, let me hear what you're saying there, Mel. Consumers Report now is rating digital television. I don't know what issue you're talking about. Maybe it's one of the very latest issues. I don't get the Consumers Report. And so we've been using the right rating system. I think you're saying there's a lot of models and a lot of brand names. And what all did you see? What did you like? And what did you not like about that particular report? K2KEY, K2RIW.
Okay, well, I'm just going over it, basically. And if they explain, this is a guide for ratings of all types, mostly on picture quality, sound quality, ease of use, as considered. Trained panelists evaluated picture quality for clarity, color accuracy. 1080p indicates screen resolution measured at 1920 by 1080. 720p means screen resolution was either 13.136x768 or 1024x1068. That's what they did as far as evaluation. As far as 1080i, they said the only quality was on certain DVD reflectors, specialized, I guess, the Blu-ray and all that kind of stuff. Otherwise, not worth purchasing, Dick, over.
Interesting. Another question I've got for you is, if I had the ability to have the right kind of source material, and I looked at a fairly large screen, a 40-inch or a 48-inch screen, I'm standing up close, the screen's working well, and I'm comparing a 720i to a 720p, is it possible my eye could see a difference? And I'm also a bit confused on what's going on when a set claims it's got 120 Hertz capability versus 60 Hertz capability. Up to now, I've been speculating the 120 Hertz is the rate at which the video display matrix is updating the visual screen at 120 times per second. But the real material is being painted during an update onto the visual display matrix, a kind of a memory. These are guesses on my part. KE2EJ, K2RIW.
Yeah, if I could interject it, why did the salesman tell me that 120 cycle technology is only available in 40 inch sets and above? And two wheels, not two wheels.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. First of all, you can't make a comparison between 720i and 720p because you ain't going to find it anywhere. There is no 720i. There's no point in having an interlaced picture there as far as that's what Panasonic drives. Okay, the numbers that Mel read off are a little bit wrong. 720p is actually 1290 by 718 or 716, but you can call it 720, right? There's 720 vertical line. There's 1290 pixels across on the line, and it's a progressive scan. That's what the P stands for, progressive, and the I stands for interlace. Okay, interlace is the way in our analog world that we reduce the bandwidth by half. Otherwise, we would need 12 megahertz channels to transmit pictures that we normally see on the analog. So what we essentially do is split the number of lines in half, and for 1/30th of a second, or 1/60th of a second rather, we send 262.5 lines, and then the other 60th of a second we send another 262.5 lines. We'll send the odd lines first and the even lines second. So we'll send the line 13579, etc. And then on the next field, as we call it, we'll transmit line 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Now, that gives us bandwidth reduction. Also, if you think about motion, right, if you've got something moving across the screen at a rapid rate, right, let's say it's a square box. When it's moving across at a rapid rate, while lines 13579 are being displayed,
The edge of that box will be, and if you were to take a pencil and draw a line on your screen or on your tube where that lines up, when it finally gets around to sending lines 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10, you'll see that those lines will have the edge of the box moved a little more in the direction that it's going. That's because it takes, you know, there's time that has passed between lines 1 and line 2, and that time is actually a 60th of a second. Now, in progressive, let me let it drop. What we do is we display an entire frame in one shot. So we display the lines 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And we do it in a 60th of a second. So what that means is that the eyeball refresh rate, which you can't see because persistence kicks in and takes effect, we transmit all pictures. And what happens if we were to make a line and look at the box, we'll see that the entire box is there for that one frame, and there are no fields. Actually, this is one of the things that the world could have an argument about. I happen to like interlaced pictures because it's a little smoother. It makes the motion, what it does is it kind of averages out what your eyeball is seeing. It makes the motion seem a little bit smoother, whereas in the progressive format, you have fast-moving stuff that gets
their argument.